remember. Can we just check if are there any questions, comments from members? Honourable Ndaba.
Chair, I may be out of order, but I just want to ask the MRC one question that is worrying me. You see, there is this procedure that I said I'll go into that street bypass. But I want to check, you know, if the MRC have done any research regarding it, because see, most of our people are doing it, and sometimes the directors, they are recommending it that, Chair, if you have done it, you are not going to have diabetes, high blood pressure, you know, the good recommendations that are health-related. Sometimes, you know, some people, they don't know whether, what are the disadvantages at the later stage. So have they done any research regarding it, and what would they say?
I don't think it's a question that is out of order. It's an important question, because it really scares some of us. But from my side, maybe not for now, if you've ever done the research, you will see, and unfortunately now also males are victims of that. This sex that is here, that is worse than young women. That may be because there are factors of that. Because if you see, I've been looking to young women of my age and younger. I said during our time, when I was their age, that thing was not there. It is something that I do think that as MRC, please look into it, because it's really, I don't know whether now it has been seen as something that is fashionable. But I'm saying even men now, young men are victims of that. They're on the belly.
I'm next on the ledge. So the research must quickly come before I'm on the queue.
Okay. But the last one on my side, in the research of the mental health, please, bring in two factors, and I want to formalize it. One, the I don't want to say child or pediatric mental health, which is something that when we read, we are told is very difficult to diagnose or whatever. Secondly, the relationship of the role or the partnership of traditional healers with the Western, because it was once on TV in one of the programs that there is that challenge now. Mental ill patients are relapsing, defaulting, because they think, they feel that they are bewitched, and it affects the entire family, the stigma and everything. So if in doing the research of this everything that we are afraid of, I don't know that it's because in psychiatry it's been said we are all abnormal. There's a thin line between sanity and insanity. Maybe we are afraid of to do that as the country. Otherwise, all of us here, we are not anything can make one to step. That is on a lighter note, but more is that if then that can be take the lead, working for the assisting the Department of Health through the ministerial commission or whatever, in looking into that. Otherwise, thank you very much. If you want to respond on some of those.
Yes, and I do think that mental health is very important, and I'm going to ask, just I'm going to say things that Kibble, who's an expert in mental health, to give her cutting edge idea about it. Now, do you think there's a cultural role and a cultural understanding of mental health that we need to address? There's also the medication has such bad side effects, and so if you have bipolar disorder, manic depression, the kind of medicine that they give you, you know, makes you mask, like Parkinson's, like mask, you know, and so it's, you know, you look terrible, you know, and you feel terrible. And so there's such bad side effects that people don't want to take it because it just makes them look and feel terrible. So we have to just, you know, there's a whole drug discovery that we have to address. You know, the medicines must not be so bad that you it's Parkinsonian-like and you have this like mask face and also to get the issues around stock out. And, you know, it's very traumatized. But I'm going to ask you both to talk more about that. In terms of the gastric bypass, obviously the gastric bypasses happen in the private sector. And maybe it would be a good idea to speak to the private sector, the discovery and the like, and see some of the outcomes and benefits. So it'll be quite an interesting thing to see, because you know the gastric bypass doesn't happen in the public sector, but we can also conduct a Cochrane review to look at what's happening internationally. But there are side effects to the gastric bypass. You get terrible gastric outlet syndrome. And you know, so you have these terrible vasovagal attacks after you have after you have food. So you have this what's called gastric outlet syndrome, and you get a huge rush of catecholamines, and so you have some side effects. And there are some issues around. Sometimes the gastric outlet can cause issues with hepatic obstruction and develops bile obstruction. So it's not an added side effect. And so I would have the idea in terms of gastric bypass, you might should look into it, but prevention is better than cure. And there is a prevention element to obesity. You know, we were misled in the 1970s, the U.S. Department of Agriculture, as you can remember that far back, told us that we should eat more greens, and we should eat wheat, and we must stop eating eggs, and we must stop eating oil, and all that. One of the reasons why we're in this crisis at the moment is because of the Department of Agriculture from the U.S. gave us wrong information, gave the world wrong information, and everyone, whether it's in South Africa or internationally, all reaping the benefits of bad recommendations. And we all believe it. Remember, we started eating flour, margarine, and stopped eating eggs. We limited our, and that was like the worst of us that was ever given at a global level. So we also need to address some of the policies that change practice that cause huge problems with our health. There isn't also an epigenetic component to obesity. So under stress in utero, our genes become methylated. And this also influences the way we metabolize glucose and all of that. We also, in terms of the pre-diabetic state, that to try and diagnose pre-diabetic state, the reason why it's important, it's not just about lifestyle, is we have to preserve our islet cells, our beta cells in our pancreas. So we know we're in a pre-diabetic state. We know that diabetes causes a mass eradication of our islet cells, and so we can start. We're trying to find ways of preserving whatever islet cells we've got left in our pancreas, and that's also why pre-diagnosis of diabetes is very important. And so there's a lot of stuff around diabetes and cardiovascular disease that probably the discovery will come in South Africa, and we'll start to understand some of the familial genetic and stuff that is related to it. But definitely, we are the products of a policy, you know, given out in the 70s that was completely wrong. And it just shows you that you can't always trust the Americans, the scientists. And it's a public bank culture, it wasn't the scientists. But we just have to realize what policy does to us, and that everything should be evidence-based, and we shouldn't have changed all our diets in the 70s based on that. And I think all of us are suffering from the diet changes when we were young. You know, I can remember on the radio that we were being told to stop eating eggs and all that. So, I mean, so I think that's an important thing, and we need to look at our policies. But Kibo is really an expert in mental health, and I'd like her just to say some stuff on mental health. I think she's at the cutting edge.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you, members of the committee. I'm actually not a psychiatrist, but I'm a public health, I'm a social and behavioral scientist. So I look at why people do certain things. And one of my areas in the past 3 years has been a drug that's called Naupe. It's called Wonga in certain areas. To me, it deprives me of sleep. Firstly, because there are thousands and thousands of young people that are using this drug, thousands. And it has a huge socio-economical impact, not only on them, but also in their families and in their communities. at worst still, as a country, we don't have a strategy. We don't have a prevention strategy, nor a management strategy. So that's what's keeping it awake at night. I think it's a national issue that we all have to worry about, but it has huge mental health impact. Thank you.
Without getting into too much detail, you raised a question which is something I'm particularly interested in, is the role of the traditional healer versus the Western medicine versus the traditional healer versus homeopathy, etc. And we have a unique melting pot in South Africa, particularly. Wherever you go, different regions have different preferences of local medication. And to try and get a system that encapsulates all of it is very difficult. For example, we don't know if you went to KwaZulu-Natal and you were having a beat of high blood pressure, and then you take the local medications as well, and the interactions of those drugs with the traditional homeopathic remedies might cancel each other out, might make it toxic. But you could, as the same person who went to the Western Cape or the Northern Cape, we've got a different homeopathic traditional healing method of addressing the illness. And it's a real challenge in South Africa to how do you regulate that? Which remedy do you use? Which drug do you use? You can come up with an infinite number of studies you'd want to do. And I think your question you ask is broader than just if you went to your traditional healer and came and you got the remedy, very much related to what Tipo was saying in terms of how do we regulate it? And it's a national issue. But one, I say the case is going to be probably how you start, and you're going to have to build it from there. And I think it's something we all need to think about the long term, how we're going to do it.
We are running up, Doc. Honourable Matthew, if you want to ask a question short and precise.
It is good that you brought up the thing of agriculture, that they conned us into eating other things. And that was part of legislation. We need an excuse to legislate against this junk food. So if you can concoct something as scientists, and then we use it and say, hey, they found it, then we can legislate and say, yeah, this is the evidence. By the time they falsify it,
no, thank you very much, honourable members, and the MRC through its respect. I do think that as much as we have got a mammoth task in front of us, because together we are to do things differently, together we are to ensure that the social condition of our people in the health sector is changed. Obviously, we don't want to do everything at a go. We have got challenges of TB, we have got challenges of a number of things, HIV and whatever. But I just want to pose a challenge to ourselves on two things. Even if it's just 5 people in this country, the legacy that is this particular committee we are to leave in the end of this day, I think it's in 2 major areas, nutrition and mental health. And mental illness. And I do think that we can have an ability to do that, but we will have to be assisted by people that have got expertise on how best can that. It is a global issue, but now we're talking about South Africa. We have got a number of examples that we can draw testimony from. We are really a, if we can just be a mentally challenged society, it was a combination of a number of things. And in the center now, the worst enemy of a living kind, drugs. And in that, we are, so as I'm saying, thank you very much. I think we manage to do that if we are. We will request the research doc. We request the research, but I always say it must not be too complex, it must be simplified for the ordinary person in the rural area to understand, some of these challenges and these issues that when we talk in this in these boardrooms, we talk high-powered English. With that, you are released. Can members of may members of the committee remain when we are when as they are leaving? Thank you very much.